So my fear is that, and we've talked about this, like we have the perfect storm brewing this year, specifically this year.
Oh yeah. It's coming.
Perfect storm. And we talked about how we already felt like this was going to be, you know, of a really rough year. And I think, you know, just if you look at, you know, the gun violence world where they check all these things, a mass shooting, which is four people or more, we're already at 384 as of today.
This year.
Yeah. So
September.
September. So it's like 1.5
every day
shootings.
Every day.
Every day. Right. So when we look at this and then we look at what's going on with the schools that got used to year after year after year of having the CARES Act money. This is the first year.
Man, you're going there? You go open that box?
That we don't have the CARES Act money, right? And we have witnessed schools who shut down the library.
Fired all
the
people.
Fired all the librarians.
Yeah, but you know, shame on them though.
Program.
But shame on them for they knew that money was not a guarantee. You know, when I was a school board member, we knew that that CARES money would eventually end up drying up. And I always used to say, guys, we really need to be careful hiring more people under the CARES Act, because at some point when that dries up, how are we going to fund all this?
Getting rid of music teachers, getting rid of art programs,
librarians,
shutting down all of the extracurricular, turning around and removing bus routes to the point that elementary schools within a 3-mile radius are expected to walk.
Yeah.
What elementary school kid is going to walk 3 miles to go to school?
What parent would allow that?
Okay. Yeah. Then even the routes that they do have, you and I've shared pictures of schools not too far from here.
Oh yeah.
Where at high school level, they're sitting three to a seat. School bus.
That can't be legal, man.
And kids sitting in the floor.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how did we get here? How are these school districts not being held accountable for the mismanagement of money to where they overspend during CARES Act and they have to retract that much? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know, man. You know, one of the things that you brought up that made me think of something, you shared with me a photo last week of a local high school here that... some kid, some student in this high school sent their parent a photo of class change. And it was, these kids were packed in like sardines. I mean, it's probably one of the worst I've ever seen.
Thousands.
So here's my deal. I want to go back to that campus. I want to see their drills compliance. I guarantee you they've reported that all their drills went perfect.
There's no way.
Guarantee. You know why it went perfect? Because they didn't do it in the middle of a damn class change.
There's no way.
There is no way that they had an active shooter drill in the middle of a class change.
Imagine if that event happened today. Those kids could not get out.
Absolutely. It would be like the Travis Scott Astroworld deal all over again.
Yeah.
There would be probably more wounds probably due to the trampling and the suffocation. That needs to be rectified like pronto, right? Well,
what they've done is they increased the passing period time because it's so bad. So now it's 6 minutes to get from class to class.
But why increase the passing period? Why not just
stagger
the passing periods? This is the difference between professionals like us and people that don't do this crap. You know,
it's an insane photo.
It is insane. I wish we could share it with you guys, but Mike sent this to me last week. It was pulled off social media. A student sent it to their parent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the kid, from what I read, I mean, it's like they had anxiety.
Yes.
You know, trying to just pass because there were so many kids in the hallway.
They're literally arm to arm.
What if you have a medical event during all that? How's that even going to play out?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's a mess. I don't know.
Yeah, and then it's the same week that I sent you that photo of the school bus, right, with all the kids on it. There was a school bus here that rolled over in a wreck, right? So what happens when the school bus rolls over and you got three to a seat on a
and
high
kids on the floor
and kids on the floor in a, of high school students? And
what's a bus seat? 52, I think. Is that about right? Two to a seat, 52. Yeah, I think that's about what it is. Yeah, now you've added additional, what, 30 kids probably, yeah. You know?
30, 40 kids.
You got 90 kids on a bus? How's that legal?
I don't know.
I mean...
And how goes back to what we started with, what? Parents, right?
Yeah.
Parents have to get involved.
Dude, I did a TikTok video earlier. I've kind of learned TikTok now, right? You know, I'm getting with the times. And so...
learning technology.
I had a video after the assassination. I was just passing through, you know, Little Rock, and stopped to get some fuel. Had some things weighing heavy on my heart. I wanted to get off my chest about this assassination attempt, and I push out this video just straight from the heart on my TikTok. And the next morning, I wake up, my kids are like, "Dad, excuse me, Dad." Your video on TikTok went viral. I'm like, what's that? Does that mean I'm sick? I mean, what's going on here? I don't feel bad. You know, I'm just kidding. I know what viral means. And so so they send me it, and I had like overnight, I want to say it was almost 600,000 views, you know, and it was because, I think it was because I just was speaking from the heart, right? Like I was speaking from the heart, and I think my passion showed. And I think I've got close to maybe 800,000 or something like that now on that one video. And so I've pushed out additional videos. They haven't gone as viral as the others, but I pushed out a video today about today's events in Atlanta at the school. And that was one of the things I talked about was the way that we saw this. There's two things that school boards and superintendents don't like, and that's angry parents and that's lawyers. And parents have to get engaged, you know, and for the greater part of America, we have some damn good parents. I'm not saying we don't, but parenting over the last couple decades, like from when I was a child, has changed significantly. And I'm not saying all for the bad, because I think there's some things that parents do now that are probably more effective than what our parents did. But these people are entrusted with the lives of your children. You have to hold them accountable. You know, one of my biggest adversaries has now become a very good friend of mine. And as much as I hated this individual, he kept us honest. And he demanded answers because we were either employed by the taxpayer or we were elected by the taxpayer. And what I'll tell you is parents have to start showing up, right? Not to just your kids' events or showing up for your kids, because I think the greater part of parents, you know, do that and they do a good job. You've got to show up and you've got to advocate for your kid, because if you're not advocating for your kids, there's not many people that will, right? And you've got to be that voice. You've got to be that steady, you know, force that is imposing your will and demanding the answers and demanding the accountability and not being just pushed over by, you know, the day-to-day, you know, talking point of the superintendent or the school board. You have to demand that they show you. Show me what you're doing. Now, there's some things that I will tell you that by law, they can't for operational security reasons. But if you've brought something to their attention and it's not rectified, don't let it go. Continue to be an advocate for your kid. And until you do that, we're going to continue to see these problems.
So what's interesting that you say that is that I started going to, on a pretty regular basis, this school that my kids would be going to, school board meetings. On a pretty regular basis. And what's interesting about it is
that
when I go there, I'm kind of looked at like a stranger, because almost every single solitary time, I'm the only one who isn't on payroll, right? That's in the room.
Yeah. Because nobody shows up.
Nobody. Not
this is a one. Big district, very yes. thriving district,
and there's nobody there at school board meetings. Not one.
You know, I said, as a school board member, this one individual who I've become very good friends with now, he used to ride our tails. But I tell you what, man, I got a lot of respect for him. I got a lot of respect for him because he was always an advocate, not only for his kids, but for all those kids. Mm-hmm. And he invoked his right as a taxpayer to voice his opinion and to let the board hear his voice. And I tell you, I would watch school board members and superintendents squirm in their seats. But you know what? They would do, within reason, what they would needed to do to make him go away. But he would bring something up the next month. You know, I mean, it was something else. But you need those individuals. You have to be that individual, you know, because there's nobody else advocating for your kid, man. You know, you have to. And that's, our society's sick. Our society's sick, man. People always ask me all the time, Mike, do we have a gun problem or do we have a mental health problem? The answer is we have a both problem. That's the reality.
I think we have a phone problem.
A phone problem?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look at
social media, keeping kids off phones.
Well, and I'm happy to see, you know, again, I was ahead of my time. 2019, we pushed out of, you know, at our district, you know, bell to bell, no cell phones, because they became such a distraction, not only from the educational perspective, but they created problems and, you know, fist fights and other things that would occur, you know, selling of drugs and facilitation of that using their cell phones while on campus. I said, listen, we're going to have a bell to bell, no cell policy. Yeah, that went over not so good because we had staff members who didn't enforce it. And then when we did have staff members who enforced it, I literally can recall a teacher getting the living snot beat out of her because she tried to confiscate a young lady's cell phone, beat her down in her classroom, fled the scene, and then the girl assaulted our deputy who went to apprehend her. And this is why teachers should not be carrying guns. This same individual who had just got beaten sits across from me as I'm interviewing her. And she's considering not filing charges against this young woman. She's a 16-year-old girl because in her heart, she felt that she would be contributing to this problem that we have in American schools where we're criminalizing kids. And my heart hurt for her, you know, and her husband sat next to her and he had the same look on his face that I'm assuming that I had on my face. But teachers are meant to be nurturers, you know. And although I still support the, you know, phones not necessarily being used during educational time, as a father, I also understand that there's a need because we're living in a different society now where, you know, if something were to happen, not immediately, but subsequently, I would want my daughters to call me and say, Dad, I'm safe. I'm out of the school, whatever. Or, you know, we're living in a society where, you know, kids have extracurricular activities. They need a ride. They got to call their parent or whatnot.
Different than having,
They can't, it's also about not in the educational setting.
Listen, we did this exercise and I'm digging into the months of family dialogues here, right?
Okay.
My son, who's a couple years older than my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We did this exercise where we showed him a picture and it was a girl kind of more to the front and there's like two girls on either side of them and they're laughing. They're somewhere else and it's just a picture. And we showed it to him and said, what do you see? Like, I don't know, a couple girls. What else do you see? I don't know. They're someplace like, you know, arcade or someplace. What else? That's it. And then my wife went off and said, where did you get that blouse? What's that? Why don't I have that? Does that, if I wore that, does that make me look fat? Where are those shoes? wait a minute, why is she there? If she's there, why didn't I get an invite? And she just kept going and going for like 10 minutes. And all the things that she thought about looking at that photo and said, this is what a teenage girl sees right in here looking at this. And I'm not saying that there's one way or the other. But what we were trying to highlight, because my son's very, very literal, and he's a different kid than my daughter.
Literal
Luke, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that we were having was trying to get him to understand that that's not necessarily how that is. And that, you know, this person who posted this video, what you see on social media is not all roses, right?
Oh, yeah.
And people want to project that every day is this amazing day and they're living this crazy life and it's not real, right? It's this thing that people put forward facing out there and it's not real life. But when your brain is developing as a teenager, that it's this thing. Like I don't understand the whole like checking in a Snapchat. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. Like just sitting there taking a picture of yourself over and over and over again. Right. Like having a conversation, I've had the opportunity to sit down with teenagers and go, okay, I set a timer. You literally just spent there this amount of time. I watched y'all do this earlier a couple times. I timed that just since we've been sitting down at this table, you have spent this much time of your life where you literally opened up and clicked, saw what somebody else was doing and did a picture of yourself and sent it back to them. What did you guys accomplish? Like what was there? Like you just, this time suck for what? Mm-hmm. Like what did you get out of it? Well, you know, nothing, right? It's like, well, why are you doing it? Well, everybody does it. But why, right? And it's one of those things that there's no answer to it.
Well, my kids, I mean, I've got two daughters. One's 20 or she'll be 20 next month. And the other one is 18. They're both in college. And, you know, watching them grow up through their teenage years using social media, you know, it's such a, you know, a technological advancement and it's beneficial. But it's very detrimental also. As a parent, you have to find that balance, right? And, you know, that balance may look different for some people than others. But like for us, you know, we had a policy at the house, like at dinner time, no cell phone, like no cell phone at the dinner table. My wife and I still do that. You know, we don't have a cell phone at the dinner table.
You ever play phone stack?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely did that. You know, but there was these just games that my daughters would play, like these streaks that they would start. And then, hey, I've got to talk to this person. It's a streak. You know, I'm on 240 something days. We're on a streak. I can't break it. And they're like, why? I mean, what's the importance of that? It's like, they just take a picture of them sticking out their tongue or something weird. Right.
Yeah.
And they just send it to their friend and then they respond back with the same thing. Or there's this be real.
It's time to be real.
It's like, oh, what's that?
But it's fake.
It's fake.
It's fake. It's, you know, like the exact opposite.
So, but that's the thing though, is like, you know, I think that is helpful as social media is, it has been a tremendous detriment to not just American society, but society as a whole.
It's a time suck too.
It's a time suck, but it creates division amongst an already divided nation. And I just don't think that our country is ever going to get back on track where we are not divided. And it comes down again to the people. The people are what can change the course of history.
The puppet strings are just in what's being presented to you, right? And unfortunately, I feel like this is just going to get worse.
It's absolutely going to get worse.
With AI, you can take three words from any individual and you can make them say whatever you want.
Yeah.
With an image, you can make them.
Yeah.
You can pair that together and it looks like you're saying what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
I tell people this all the time. It's almost like we're living in the Matrix, man.
Our adversaries' investment in there. So there was China's opening up every week a new power plant because they need a coal-powered plant because they need the power to invest in AI. And the U.S. is behind that.
Yeah.
And the amount of money, time, effort, energy is going into AI, it is going to change.
Our adversaries, while we're trying to determine how many genders there are. Our adversaries are completely running circles around us in this space. Yep. They are preparing for the next century. Mm-hmm. We're preparing for the next election. And that's what's sad in this country.
And then no matter who wins, the next 4 years is going to be nothing but fighting about whoever won. That's it.
Yep.
We're not going to get anything accomplished.
And I tell people this all the time. That
and you want to go join these people.
I do want to go join them because, you know, I may be a short-lived senator or congressman, but you damn well bet that I'm going to say what needs to be said, you know, and you know that.
If you get the chance.
If I get the chance, you know, but at the end of the day, man, you know, we are living in what I tell people, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. And people say, well, if you've got to say you're not a conspiracy theorist, you're a conspiracy. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a realist. I truly believe that what we are witnessing in American society, because no one wants to take a deep breath and just take a tactical pause and sit down and really unbiasedly analyze everything that's going on, is we are witnessing what is probably one of the most robust psychological operations on the American people in history. And I'm not saying it's necessarily coming from the American government. I'm saying it's coming from our adversaries as well. You know, if you go back to the 60s, Russia and our adversaries then have said, not only since the 60s, but to modern day, that they know that they can never take down America through boots on the ground, military might. It's through infiltration of the minds and bodies and the degradation of the American public and our moral compass, where we get to a point where we can no longer have civil discourse. We can no longer have, conversations that don't result in some type of physical or verbal conflict, that we pick a side, whether it be Republican or Democrat or whatever it is. This is how they defeat us. And we're too stupid as Americans
to see it.
It's happening right in front of our face. And then,
and you know, not even hiding from it anymore.
No, there's no hiding it.
And what's the one thing that is fueling all of it? Greed.
100% it's greed.
Greed.
On both sides.
100%.
You know, how is it that, this is probably not going to be popular opinion and I don't care. How is it that the best that we have as candidates is Kamala Harris and Donald Trump? How is that? I know I could throw a rock in a crowd and hit someone who could probably run this country. You and I could run this country better than both of these clowns. You know, I have my own political views and I know how I'm voting. I'm not voting for a person at this point. I'm not voting for a person. I'm voting on policy alone. That's it. It's policy alone at this point, because both options suck. Bottom line.
They've sucked for a long time.
This is decades.
Yeah.
There has been nobody really looking out for the best interest of the American people. That is the truth.
It is.
And you want to sit back and you want to claim, you know, Donald Trump this, Kamala Harris this, bullshit. You're being deceived. You're being manipulated. Stop being a follower. Stop being a damn sheep. Think with your own head. Stop being biased. And look at policy.
And
look at the sustainment of America.